I've had a great break and I'm ready to bring the word, and I'm continuing Go and Grow is our theme for the year, and it aligns so well with the messages I've been preaching, Made for Mondays. We're made for it. Sunday is where we come together and we celebrate Jesus, we hear testimonies, we're excited about what the Lord's doing, and we get fueled to go into our week to make a difference for Jesus. It's not we're on fire on Sunday and then on Monday it's the grind. On Sunday we are empowered, excited about what God's doing in our life and in the life of our community, and then we go to hear even greater testimonies across our week. And so I'm not going to go through recaps of every message, but you can go to our website and see all the past messages. Mondays matter to God, belong before believe, that's important. Growing from babies to armies spiritually. Others, it's all about others, and our faith is ignited when we live for others and to serve others. And my last message was about generations, where it's not about reinforcements. It's reinforcements, sorry. It's not about replacements. So the older generation doesn't need to despise the younger ones that are coming up and getting opportunity. Well done, Bonnie, today for singing and you know, holding up the back on the media. And just the young ones are getting more involved in our services. And it's only going to increase. Amen?
Amen.
Because we believe in the next generation. We're not despising them because, oh, I'm losing my position or my job. I didn't even sing today, you might know. It's the first time that's happened in a while, because I want to let young ones have the opportunity, not feel like they're overshadowed by the older. I'm happy to just stand here. I don't even have to be up here. If there's someone who wants to play guitar, I'll watch you and cheer you on. Come on. So it's not about thinking, oh, I'm being replaced, but it's about reinforcements. God is raising an army in the next generation that's going to make a difference in this community. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Today's message, strong church, soft hearts. Strong church, we're not weak. Sometimes people think either or. You're a strong church, but you can't be soft. Or, you know, you can't be too strong because you'll upset people, so let's be soft and empathetic. No, but God wants a strong church with soft hearts. Let me explain. Truth spoken in love builds disciples. Truth spoken in love builds disciples. Comfort without truth only builds crowds. So if we just pander to people and, oh, they're, and yeah, you've had a tough life, I'll just come here and I'll give you a big cuddle. You know, we might get a crowd, but it doesn't build disciples. It doesn't address that we're all sinners and we all fallen short of the glory of God because we all make mistakes. That's what the Bible says. None of us are perfect, not one. We've all sinned. So truth spoken in love builds disciples. See, if we're going to do this Go and Grow this year, which we are, this requires conviction without cruelty. You don't have to verbalize the conviction God's put on your heart and be cruel to people about it. So you need to step up too, because look at you, you filthy. You're not going to do that, are you? They're just going to go and keep walking, aren't they? Sorry, I'll get the finger in church. But anyway, that's what they're going to do. They're not going to listen to you if you talk to them like that. Because cruel conviction without cruelty, or what about love? We can love without compromise. We don't have to compromise just to love people. A good example is, and this is controversial and it's online and hello government, but you know, same-sex marriage. But love is love. And the Christian church went woke. A lot of it did. Not this church, not as long as I'm leading it.
Amen.
We have very strong convictions about what the Word of God says and how we should live. Now, do we love those people? Of course we do. I have a stepbrother that is gay. He got married, but he didn't invite me to the wedding because we actually have a mutual understanding and respect for one another. And that's achievable in society if we would just understand each other. And if he chooses to live that way, well, he'll get the consequences of that. That's his choice. That's fine. But I'm not going to be down on him or mean or treat him like rubbish. I'm going to love him as Christ loves him, but I'm not going to endorse how he lives.
Amen. Amen.
But we can still communicate and be human to each other.
Yes.
So, the world's just messed up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a big fight and battle and clash, and everyone wants to rip each other's whatever. Anyway, let's get some scripture happening, and we'll formulate what this message is going to say. Ephesians 4:15 is the one that talks about speaking the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Ephesians 4:15. And then there's Daniel 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But Daniel 1 shows a young man, Daniel, who chose faithfulness to God over conformity to culture. So he chose to be faithful to his God despite the pressures from the culture around him telling him to be a certain way. And even when it cost him comfort and favor, he still stayed true to what God had spoken to him about how he should live. And Daniel held clear convictions with humility and wisdom, and God honored his obedience, didn't he? If you read the account, God honors his obedience by giving him favor, influence, and wisdom beyond others. So everyone looked up to him. They knew he was the man of God because he was unashamed. He goes, you want to live like that, but this is what I do. I pray this many times a day to my Lord. I'm not going to live how you live. I'm going to live how God tells me to live. See, this chapter reminds us that strength of character, not compromise, is what leads to lasting impact. So the church doesn't have to compromise with the world to just edge over people. Oh, come to church because we're going to compromise on this or that. We can still stay strong in our conviction, but speak the truth in love. Do you understand? Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
So Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate. See, it's hard to live this way. Jesus said it. It's not easy to enter by the narrow gate. You've got to make deliberate choices and not conform. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Hey, it's easy to be woke. It's easy to just blend into the crowd and go along with what they agree with and what they say. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I want every person in this church to find that narrow gate. Live a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Because I want a strong church, but I want us to have soft hearts. See, this is the tension that every church has to learn to hold. It's a tension to manage. If a church is all truth with no love, it becomes harsh. People walk in, they feel like they're being accused, they walk out, they're not going to stay. Mm-hmm. But if a church is all love, oh, they're there, and no truth, it becomes hollow. Because there's no foundation, there's no basis of belief. See, one builds walls, and the other builds crowds. And neither on its own builds disciples. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:15, as we read earlier, that we are called to speak the truth in love. Not truth or love, truth and love together. And as we move forward into Go and Grow, this matters deeply. It's so important because we can't grow strong without truth. You need a foundation. What is truth? Where do we get what we learn? From the Word of God. And we can't go far without love. You might be someone who speaks the truth and really attacks people, but the Bible says, and you're like what people affectionately call a Bible basher. And you're hitting them over the head with scripture, and because you're so right, you know you're right, but is it really about being right? Or is it about sharing the truth in love? You don't have to be so angry at people because they're not lining up with your understanding of how we should live. You can build relationship with people and love on them, but still not compromise on the truth that you carry. So God is forming a church that is strong in conviction and soft in heart. So here's the first point for today. Bold and tender. Bold and tender. One of the great tensions of following Jesus is learning how to be strong without becoming hard, and loving without becoming vague. The world tells us we've got to choose, but be bold or be kind, either or. But see, Jesus shows us a better way. He's actually both. And I want to be like Jesus. I don't know about you. Do you want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
I want to follow the way he taught, the way he spoke, the way he treated people. And so that means we can do both of those things. See, Jesus was bold enough to confront sin, but tender enough to restore sinners. Strong enough to flip tables, because he was ticked off in what was going on in the temple, but gentle enough to gather children in his arms. Let the children come near me so that I can bless them. You know, that's not weakness. That's actually strength under control. And Jesus was very much in control, knowing that he was doing the Father's will. See, Jesus is the perfect picture of bold and tender. If you want to learn how to be like that, read about him in the Gospels. When Jesus met the woman caught in adultery, he didn't deny the truth. He said, go and sin no more, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't deny the truth that she was facing. But he said it after he protected her dignity.
Mm.
He actually dealt with her sin without destroying her soul. That's bold and tender. He healed her and then said, go and sin no more. He didn't make a spectacle of it. well, you're not living under the way of the Lord, and you're disobeying this and that, and you're dirty and unclean. And he didn't say all that. But hey, there are people in the church, not this church, it's the other churches, that are like that. And they point out every fault in every person. You're this and they're that. No one wants to hang around that person for starters, because, wow, you're really a bunch of negativity, aren't you? But that's not how we're meant to function. We're not meant to point out people's sin. Remember the speck in the log? We're meant to love people unconditionally, set them free by introducing them to Jesus, and let them come in and experience the love of Christ. But still speaking the truth, we don't accept how they've lived or what they're doing. We don't point it out. Jesus didn't. He just restored her and then said, go and sin no more. See, when Jesus rebuked Peter, he did it face to face. But he also restored him publicly and entrusted him with leadership. Truth without love actually crushes people. And that's not what we want in this place. Love without truth confuses people. I don't want anyone confused. So what is it? Truth in love transforms people. If you can learn the art of speaking the truth in love, do it in a way as Christ would do, man, there's going to be fruit in the ministry of this church, the people of this church. Daniel 1, conviction with a gentle spirit. Daniel's another powerful example of this. See, Daniel didn't compromise his convictions, not at all. He didn't eat the king's food. He didn't bow down to the Babylonian system. But he also didn't rebel with arrogance. He wasn't rude about it either. He spoke with wisdom. He showed respect and honor. He asked permission. And scripture says God gave him favor. See, boldness isn't about volume. I don't want you to go out there and be loud with a megaphone and repent or burn. It's about clarity. It's about bringing people clarity. See, tenderness isn't about avoidance. Oh, I don't want to talk about that tricky issue. It's actually about posture. How am I standing in relation to that issue? How can I be bold but speak the truth in love about that? So I don't want someone leaving feeling attacked or condemned, but I don't undeniably want them to know the truth as well. How do I present that in a way that is received? Because I can tell you, if you're loud and screaming, this is going to turn away. But if you do it in a way through relationship, people that you love, talk to them in a way that you're uncompromising on your truth, but you're presenting it in a loving way, you're going to see transformation in that person. We've talked about the whole nurture, invite, and integrate in everything that we do now at Vineyard. See, when you nurture, it's something important. People receive truth best from those who have first nurtured them. So if you're someone that goes out there and just blindly preaches the gospel and rams it down people's throats, and you haven't got a relationship with them, they're not listening to you. In fact, you're repelling them. Because they're like, who's that wacko on his soapbox going on about whatever? You need to nurture a relationship with people before you get permission to actually speak into their life. Nurture says, I care about you. So people are then interested to receive from you if you're showing that you care. Nurture says, I see you. I see where you're at. I see what you're going through. I'm not here to win an argument. That's what nurture is. I'm not here to win. I'm not here to debate to prove you you're wrong. That's not nurturing. Nurturing is, I'm here to walk with you to this end journey. That's why Jesus always led with relationship before correction. He built relationship first. See, if people don't feel safe, they stop listening. You might think, oh, you don't know, I'll go out and speak the truth and people, whatever. But I'm telling you, they're not listening. 99% of them will not listen to you. But when they feel love, they actually become teachable. Because they're ready to receive. Know, like, and trust. Remember, we've mentioned that a few times. If they know you, if they like you, they're going to trust you. And then you're going to have permission to speak. As we move into this go and grow year, this matters more than ever. I need you to understand this. I need the penny to drop when it comes to nurturing. How important it is to build relationships. If we want to go into a broken world, we've got to carry truth with tenderness. If we want to grow disciples, we've got to correct with compassion. See, a hard church might grow fast, but it's not going to last, because eventually people are going to feel burnt and leave. A soft church, it's all about love, they might fill seats because everyone feels welcome and whatever, but but it's not going to transform lives. It's just going to be, oh, it's going to be like a hospital and everyone's just, oh, they're there. And they never grow and go. God is building a church that is strong in conviction and soft in heart. See, a strong father doesn't crush his children's hands when he grabs their hand. He holds it firmly enough to guide, gently enough to protect, and that's bold and tender in action. That's what we do. That's how we teach our children. Strength that protects and love that leads. That's what I'm asking us to do as a church to the people in our community. Can we be tender enough to lead them on a journey? Nurture our relationship with them until we are at the point where we feel confident to speak into their life. See, boldness without tenderness wounds. But tenderness without boldness weakens. But boldness with tenderness builds disciples. Speaking the truth in love. Amen? Amen. And when we learn to live bold and tender, something actually shifts. We don't have to choose between truth and love. We can actually present the truth in love. We don't have to choose between standing firm and staying kind. We can actually be both. Because the strongest churches aren't the loudest. We're not here to be loud. They're the ones who love deeply. They're the strong churches. The ones that speak clearly. Walk patiently with people as they grow. Giving people permission to go on a journey. Not expect an instant transformation. Or you shouldn't be like that anymore. No, we're on a journey with someone as they have encountered Christ and they're learning the new way to live. And let's give them the space to learn.
Yes.
Can God instantly transform someone? Of course he can. Please don't hear me wrong. But the ones that need to go on a bit of a journey, let's not dismiss them because they haven't changed as quickly as you liked. Here's the second point. Clear convictions, warm tone. This is so important. Clear convictions, warm tone. What we believe really matters, church. But how we carry what we believe matters just as much. So one thing is believing, but then it's carrying what we believe and how we present it. See, convictions give us direction, yes? If you don't have any convictions, your life has no direction. You'll just be blown by the wayside, by whatever wind takes you, whichever direction, because you don't have a firm conviction on something. But if you've got strong convictions, it gives you direction in life. Tone determines whether people can receive those convictions or not. So if you've got a harsh tone, people aren't going to receive what you're bringing. You've got to learn to carry and control and express in a tone that people will receive. If you go up to them all angry and firm, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, you've lost them already. See, you can be right, but still push people away. I'm not saying you're wrong with what you're saying. What I'm saying is how you're presenting is not necessarily the best method to win people for Jesus. You can speak truth and still miss the heart. Ephesians 4:15 doesn't say, shout the truth. Some of us are a bit loud, don't look around. It says, speak the truth in love. Truth needs a voice people can hear, not just words that are correct. We're not just looking for people that are right and that have this chip on their shoulder that they have to prove that they're right all the time. Well, I'm going to go and tell them a thing or two. What's the fruit in that? See, Jesus never softened the truth. He softened his approach, how he approached people. Jesus never lowered the standard. He always talked about sin and come and follow me. He talked about repentance. He talked about narrow roads and costly obedience. He talked about all of that stuff. He didn't go easy or light on those things. But people leaned in. They didn't back away. Why? Because of how he presented it. Because his tone matched his heart. See, everyone that speaks from this pulpit has an anointing on their life to speak from this pulpit. Men, women, whoever steps up here, you have a very protected pulpit. Anita and I don't just let anyone get up here. So the ones that do get up here, you can have firm confidence that we have recognized a gift on their life and that they are presenting in a way that will be received. But thanks to Sue for, I think, the last couple of weeks of communion now. And Jody spoke for the last couple of weeks preaching. And from all reports I've had from people, outstanding. Amazing. We're so blessed in Stanthorpe to have an incredible, like, we can go away now. We might go away more often. Because church is amazing when we're not here. Apparently, it's on top of it. That's all right. I don't have an ego, amigo. I can let people go for it. No problem. See, Jesus never argued people into the kingdom. He loved them into transformation. That's what Jesus did. See, there's a danger when it comes to right beliefs with wrong tone. This is a hard truth for the church. We can defend doctrine and still damage disciples, depending how we're, if we get all apprehensive and, you know, bent out of shape. A cold tone turns truth into a weapon, but a harsh spirit turns correction into condemnation. What's our tone? How are we presenting? See, when the tone is wrong, people stop asking questions because they feel attacked. I'm not going to ask any more questions. I don't even want to listen to you anymore. People hide their struggles. They're not going to be open and real with you because they're worried you're going to pounce on them. Well, you shouldn't be doing that. No, they're not going to be open and share. People disengage instead of growing when you're harsh. See, we might win debates, yay, but lose people, boo. If I have to lose a debate to win someone to Christ, oh, let me lose every day. I don't feel so insecure that I have to prove every single little belief that I have to someone. I'm not going to be backward in sharing it, but I'm going to do it in a way with truth and love. And if they don't receive it, well, that's fine. You're free to make whatever choice you want to make, but here's what I believe and here's why, and I'd love you to consider it. And leave it with them. Because at the end of the day, it's ultimately on them. It's not on you. You don't have to win everybody. Jesus does. And so you speak the truth in love. They take it away. What they do with it is their choice. You can follow them up in love. Don't follow them up in anger. But I've already told you that. I've talked about that. Why are we having this conversation? No. Give them patience. Love on them. They're on a journey. If you don't think you can handle the journey, pass them on to someone else who can. See, we might win debates, but we're going to lose people. We take that approach. So let's talk about nurturing, how tone is formed. This is really practical, so I hope this is okay this morning. This is really practical. Warm tone doesn't happen accidentally. Oh, whoops, that was very warm all of a sudden. No, it's intentional. It's formed through a spirit of nurturing. You want to nurture a relationship with someone, you're going to have a warm, gentle tone with them, not harsh. Nurture trains us to slow down. Just slow down. Listen before speaking, fellas. Talking to myself. I need to learn this. Listen before speaking. Don't come in with all the answers. That's what men like to do. We've got a solution. This is what you've got to do. No, just let them talk. A wife just wants to let you know what she experienced that day, not an answer. Nurture reminds us this person is a soul, not a project. We are not trying to make disciples because that's the new program at Vineyard. It's not a project we're unleashing you on. It's just meant to be normal and what we do. See, conversation is meant to be sacred, not casual. Be purposeful with how you present and what you say. And then inviting. A warm tone says, hey, you're welcome to come through the doors of our church and wrestle with this thing. That's okay. See, what do most people think when they're going to come through the door? Oh, the roof's going to fall on my head, or oh, I haven't got it all together, or all. But that's okay. We want to create an environment where, you know, that's okay. Come in and wrestle with what it is you're wrestling with, because we believe that once you've been experienced to the presence of God, once you've been in His presence, things are going to shift and change for you, and that wrestle is going to dissipate. That's the only word I can think of. That's a fancy word. It's going to decline and go. Because all of a sudden, clarity is going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to come into you. So you're welcome to come and wrestle. You're allowed to grow here. You don't have to have made it before you come through the doors. It doesn't matter where you're at in your journey, come. You are welcome here. And you are safe to be honest here. Don't be afraid to speak up, to say something, to challenge something. Just if you want to challenge anything, talk to, I don't know, Frinny instead of me. That's good. Frinny can take it. No, it's all good. You can talk to me about anything. Invite, here's what it doesn't say. Get it together before you belong. That's not invite. Invite says, come as you are and we'll walk towards Jesus together. Amen. However that looks. And every walk is different. Because every person is unique. And that, if you catch that, church, that's how discipleship begins. When you accept people as they are, take them on a journey and see what God does. And then when we go to integrate them, the truth lands best inside relationship. Talked about that a lot already. That's why integration really matters. That's why circles matter more than rows. Getting people connected, that's important. And we're going to be working on that in the weeks ahead. That's why connect groups and discipleship pathways are essential in the life of a church. See, correction spoken from a distance feels like judgment. No, they're just judging me. They just want to correct me all the time. But correction spoken in relationship feels like care. Oh, wow. They thought of me enough to bring that up for me to think about that. What lovely people they are. See the difference? Same truth, different time. Completely different outcome. So as we go and grow in 2026, our convictions must stay clear. So important. But our tone must stay warm. Not harsh. Not too lovey-dovey. Just warm. Be consistent with what you believe. But share it in love. Because if our tone hardens, people won't come close enough to grow. They won't be interested. But if our convictions blur because we're trying to just be too lovey, people won't know what they're growing into. So we need both. That's really important. I've talked about a thermostat and a thermometer in church before. I'm sure you've heard that analogy. See, a thermometer just reports the temperature, doesn't it? It's so-and-so degrees. It wasn't too hot in Vanuatu when we went. It was, mid-20s. It was a very odd day. The driver that took us, Isaac, I don't know if you know Isaac, Joseph's brother-in-law, Isaac. And he's like, oh, it's really not too hot today. And then as we drove back, it got a little hotter. Like 25 or something, like, this is paradise. We could live in this. I'm expecting Solomon 38 degrees, 99% humidity when I went in December a couple of years ago. Oh my gosh, you just walk outside and you're a bucket of water on you. Anyway, a thermometer just reports the temperature, but a thermostat changes the environment. That's what we want in our church, a whole bunch of thermostats who are environment changers. You walk into the room and things, the atmosphere shifts because you're there. That's what I spoke over Ellie. You're going to be a thermostat. You know, walk into that university campus where there's, I don't know what kind of people are there, but if we're going to be general about university campuses, so there's people that need Jesus. And you're going to walk in there and it's just going to shift because of the light of Christ that's within you. See, we're not called to just point out what's wrong. We're called to create environments where people can change. And that's what thermostats do. Clear convictions set direction, but warm tone sets an atmosphere. We want to be atmosphere carriers. Wherever we walk, but that atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, just people sense it. Like, oh, why are you so happy? I'm really glad you asked. Have a conversation. See, truth spoken with warmth builds trust, and trust makes transformation possible. And that's what we want to see. Lives transformed. Amen? And when truth is spoken clearly and carried warmly, something beautiful just happens, thanks to the Holy Spirit. Something beautiful is allowed to happen. People all of a sudden don't feel exposed anymore, but they feel invited. They don't feel judged anymore. They actually feel shepherded and cared for. They don't feel pushed, but they feel led, and they appreciate that. There's so many voices in our world now trying to lead us. Oh my gosh, don't listen to the wrong voices. Don't go there. That's when corruption becomes redemptive. And that's where we're going next. So correction becomes redemptive. You can actually bring the truth in love and correct someone and actually see their soul redeemed because of how you presented the gospel to them in a loving, nurturing way. So correction in trusted relationships is my last point this morning as we come to a close. Real discipleship always involves correction, always. You can't not have correction. But healthy correction only works in the context of trust. And how do we get trust? Nurturing relationships. Know, like, and trust. See, correction without relationship feels like judgment every time. But correction within relationship feels like care. And that's why Jesus never corrected crowds. He corrected disciples. He actually walked with people before he challenged them. He loved them before he confronted them. And because of that, correction became redemptive, not destructive. So we don't want to hit the community now and just bring correction to everybody, because we'll be the most hated people. Oh, there's that person from Vineyard. Oh, because they're coming with their fire and brimstone message. No, we don't want to be that. Ephesians 4 talks about growing up together. Paul tells us that we are to grow up in all things into him. And that means there are moments when we can encourage, we can correct, we can realign, we can repent, we can restore, but it's all done through relationship. None of that happens in isolation. Can't do those things without relationship. Growth happens when people are known, and people are known in relationship. See, here's why correction often goes wrong in the church. It happens too publicly, too quickly, or without enough relational equity. See, if Anita and I ever have to talk to someone about something that we just need to bring maybe a gentle correction, I'm not going to walk up to you in the foyer with all the people around us and do that. You use wisdom and you say, hey, can we have a little chat? And you pull them to the side away from other listening ears and you have a little conversation. We've had many a conversation with different people across our 13 years now almost here at Vineyard. And there's a smarter way to do it, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to put anyone in a position where they feel like they're being judged and mocked in front of their peers. But let's talk in private and then display the change publicly and honour you publicly.